It is the 16th of April, week 11, and the parking lot's getting really thin. Have you noticed that? Yeah, oh, Mr. Lopez, I didn't think you were here. Sorry. Okay. So we're going to finish up bonds today, and then we have exam number 3 on Thursday. So chapters 8, 9, and 10 on insurance. Make sure you know those automobile liability limits. The most important automobile insurance, auto liability. And if we have time, we'll go over a couple at the end of the period. And then no calculations for 9 and 10. But then chapter 11, there will be the bond calcs, which you will have weeping and gnashing of teeth and beating of breath. But they're not that hard as long as you plug in the numbers, and we'll go over them again today. So make sure you bring a Scantron, one page of handwritten notes, the formulas you don't have to worry about. They'll be on the bond calc formulas. They'll be on the exam. Thank you very much. Bring your calculator, 99-cent calculator. What else? That's it. And then hope you're turning in the assignments. Please turn in the assignments, even if they're late. All right. Excuse me. Who wasn't here on Thursday last week? Anybody not here on Thursday of last week? Cool. Okay. Everybody's here. All right. So we're going to finish up bonds because bonds are boring. And then we'll get to stocks after the exam on Thursday because stocks are exciting but risky. But first, we need a good joke. Anybody have a good joke? How about a bond joke? Actually, first do a bond joke. What's the difference between a man and a bond? Right? The bond eventually matures. You get your money back. Is it the man? No. That's the way it is. Ladies, it doesn't get any better, I tell you. They just get more subtle. Men just get more subtle. They want you to be your mark. Okay, so let's take a look at bonds. We said that bonds represent loans. When you invest in bonds, you're the loaner as opposed to an owner when you invest in stocks. And so who are you loaning your money to? Uncle Fred? No. You're loaning it to companies, corporate bonds, state and local governments. These are called municipal bonds, municipalities, municipal bonds, and then the granddaddy of the all United States Treasury, the United States government. And you get interest on the bond, just like the bank. When you go to a bank and you borrow money, they want interest and principal back. The same thing is true for you as a bond holder, as a bond investor. You're going to lend your money to these entities. They're going to pay you back interest and principal over time. Now, we already said, we're going to say it again, we're going to say it next week. Stocks are very volatile, which is a fancy way of saying I lost a lot of money. Bond prices are far less volatile than stocks, but they still fluctuate. They still go up and down. How does that work? Well, hang on a minute. But over the long term, we should expect 4 to 8%. Now, it's been several years now. I keep saying I should do this, but I haven't. I really should lower it because over the last 80-some-odd years, bonds have done pretty darn well, you know, like a mortgage, 6, 7%. But mortgages are paying 4% now, 4.5%. And so are bonds, anywhere from 2 to up to 5. Some bonds are paying higher, but not too many. So we like to think of bonds as intermediate term, although some people will want long-term bonds just because they're frightened of stocks. So why do you buy them? Interest. Interest will be paid back, and you'll get your face value, your par value, the principal back. Although there's always the risk of default, which is a fancy way of saying what happened. If the bond defaults, tough question, folks. Yeah, they stop paying. They stop paying you. They didn't pay you back your interest. They didn't pay your principal. And this is what happens in the real world with individuals. Right? Sometimes people get in trouble. They don't wind up paying their debts. Doesn't happen that often. What do you think? Do most people pay their bond, their mortgages, their car loans, their credit cards? Yeah, now there are times when the economy fails and people go into default at a larger rate, 2008, 2009, And that happens in the bond world, but generally the risk of losing money in the bond world is low. It's going to happen, but it just doesn't happen that often. And you may actually be able to sell your bonds for more than you paid for them. Does that make any sense? You made a loan to somebody, you lend somebody $1,000, they're going to pay you back $1,100? Is that how that's going to work? Well, there is an opportunity for you to sell your bonds for more than you paid for them if interest rates have fallen. How does that work? Later, we'll discuss this later, because this by far is the trickiest part about bonds. So, why do entities sell bonds? They are borrowing money. You and I, we go to a bank. But if you're a corporation, a state and local government, a school district, a bridge authority, a water authority, or the treasury, you don't go to a bank. You go to the investment community and say, look, we're Walmart, or we're Southwestern Community College, or we're the United States Treasury. We need to borrow money. Will you lend it to us? What are you going to give me? What's the interest rate? How long is the loan for? And investors make decisions on whether or not they should buy the bonds and make the loans. So they need it to build a new factory, expand into a new country. Your Walmart, it's going to cost you $2 billion to move into Asia. Where are you going to get the cash? You're going to borrow it from the investment community. You think we, Southwestern, you think we had a bake sale to build that stadium out there? No. We had to make loans to the financial community, and then they paid us the money, and now we have to pay it back over the next 30 years. And sometimes you just can't go to a bank. Can you imagine the federal government saying, oh, we'd like $900 billion to invade Iraq. Will you lend it to us, Mission Federal Credit Union? They don't have that kind of cash. Okay. Almost every election year, you, as citizens of this United States of America, you are asked to vote on a bond proposition. And that's what they're often called. And do you think people understand what bond proposition means? For schools, parks, water projects, the bullet train. And people go, whoa, that sounds cool. And they vote yes. And now what happens? The state of California, or the school district, or the bridge authority, sells the bonds to the general public, to the investment community, and now they have to pay the darn things back. How do they pay it back? How do they pay it back? Taxes, right, they raise taxes. So do you think most people really understand what they're doing when they say, yeah, I want more schools, yeah, I want more of the bullet train? You think they're understanding what they're doing? No, they don't. That's why they vote yes. But when they understand that, oh no, you're going to be paying this for the next 30 years, then they go, But have you voted for our bond issuers? Proposition AA, Proposition R, and what's the one coming up? Z? It's already coming up. Z, Proposition Z. Did you all vote for those? You don't remember. Yes, you did. You love us. The South Bay community loves Southwestern. Whenever we ask for money, they say, yeah, sure. Now, how is it going to get paid? Your property taxes are going up. Every time it happens, your property taxes are going up. So that's how the stadium's getting paid for it for the next 30 years. Okay. Now, sometimes it's difficult or not advantageous or impossible to sell stock. If you're a corporation, you love to sell stock. Why? Because you don't have to pay it back. If you're a bond, if you sell bonds, you have to pay it back. But the tax, the interest is tax deductible, but dividends are not. And we're going to talk about financial leverage when we get to real estate, but you're using other people's money to make your money. Now, some people like this idea. They say, oh, especially real estate developers and the like, I'm using the bank's money or the investment community's money to make my money. What's the downside? I got to pay it back. It doesn't come for free. So there's a dual-edged sword. It's great to use other people's money to make money if it works out, because then you get to pay it back. If it doesn't work out, I just declare bankruptcy. You know anybody who's done this? Yeah, right. Agent Orange. Cadet Bone Spurs has done it 4 times. And every time he did it, he moved the assets to some other corporation, moved the debts to that corporation. Oh, that corporation's going out of business. They're going bankrupt. Oh, that's okay. Leave me alone. It's amazing. Brilliant. Evil, but brilliant. And if you don't have any ethics, you don't have any conscience, who cares? The banks are debt financing. Corporations, municipalities, and the federal government borrow for many of the same... Bush did it twice, too. Bush, the younger, did it twice. For many of the same reasons that individuals borrow to finance their operations. Stocks are equity financing. You're selling a piece of yourself that you don't have to pay back. So governments can't do this. Southwestern can't sell. We can sell whatever assets we have, whatever land or whatever we have. We can't sell you Southwestern Community College. It's a governmental entity. So what are the characteristics of bonds? Are bonds kind of boring? Yeah, sorry. I'm not going to lie to you. They're kind of boring. But they're reliable. There's a written pledge to repay a specified amount of money. Think of it like a mortgage. When you eventually go to borrow money in a mortgage, it's a stack of papers this big. Well, the same thing is true here. It's called a trust indenture, a bond indenture. And that's the loan agreement. And then there's a trustee that watches over the bond. Bonds are typically sold in $1,000 increments. Now, there are some bonds that are sold in $5,000 and $10,000. But in this class, we will always use $1,000 for the par value, the face value. Basically, that's the principle. So these things are sold in $1,000 pieces. And we get paid every 6 months. You're used to paying your mortgage, your credit cards every month, or car loans. They pay in six-month increments. Some pay every month, quarterly, but we'll just always use $1,000 for the par value and every 6 months. Okay, cool. All right, what are we doing? Now, let's take a look at some of the bonds. We said that there were corporate companies, and it turns out, and the same thing happens in municipal bonds, but not as often, that do you remember secured and unsecured debt? Remember the secured credit card? Nod your head yes, because that's a great way to get a credit card. The same thing happens here. We don't call it, some people use the term secured. We usually call it mortgage-backed, or sometimes you'll hear it called asset-backed bonds. These have become very popular, and they were part of the reason that the whole thing kablooey 10 years ago, because many of the mortgages that people were making were turned into bonds. So they would package 1,000 mortgages into an entity and turn them and break them into $1,000 pieces and sell them all around the world. And what they were doing is they were saying, oh, these bonds are great. Don't worry. These people are going to pay their mortgages. And yet they were, remember the liar loans? They were backed by mortgages that people knew they weren't going to be able to pay in 3 or 4 or 5 years. But the nice man in the flannel suit told me that I'd be able to refinance or just sell my house for twice what I paid for it. So what was I going to worry about? And this is part of what they brought down the world, these mortgage-backed securities. And the others are called debentures. Debentures, that's debentures. They are unsecured. They're like a credit card. They're only backed by the full faith and credit of the entity. So if this goes, you go after the asset, whether it's a mortgage or a railroad or planes or whatever. And this goes, you've got to go after the person like you're going after with a credit card. Now, there are convertible bonds. Doesn't that sound exciting? You get to convert your bond into stock. So whereas you had a loan, you could turn around and turn it into stock. Doesn't that sound exciting? A convertible car? They don't work out too well. Just stay away. I just tell you that because I think it's silly. Convertibles. All right, now, what's the call feature? The call feature allows the bond issuer, the company, the state and local municipality, the Treasury's never issued callable bonds. That doesn't mean they won't. To refinance. We talked about refinancing your mortgage. Maybe you have a high car loan, and you go to the credit union and say, oh, we'll refinance the loan. The same thing is true here. These entities, corporations and state and local governments, the Treasury's never called their bonds, they could call the bonds back. They could say, hey, bond issuers, we want our money back. We want our money back. And then what's going to happen is you're going to get your cash back. You're going to get your loan back. You don't get any more interest payments. So if you now have a mortgage at 6 or 7%, you could go down to your local credit union, bank, mortgage broker and say, I want a new loan. They'll give you one for 4 or 4.5%. If companies are paying 6, 7, 8% now, they would do the same. They would call in the bonds, you get your money back, they get the bonds back, and they would reissue the bonds at a lower interest rates. And you wouldn't do it to if interest rates were higher, you would not do that. Often there's a call protection period. We're going to see that when we see a couple of examples. Okay, municipal bonds. Okay, now we're going to do this. All right, so and last one before we take a look at some examples. Interest on bonds is normally taxable, just like interest if you earn on a savings account. But we have to look at the federal government and the state governments. The Constitution says the states can't tax the feds. The feds can't tax the states. So any money you earn from the Treasury, California can't touch. And any money you earn from a municipal bond, Southwestern Community College, the state of California, or any Puerto Rico or any of the other states, the Treasury can't touch. And so muni bonds are very popular with people in high net worth, high income brackets. Okay, so we've got some ideas about bonds in our little heads. Let's take a look at an example. Let's take a look at a bond issue. Where is it? Muni bond quotes. Here you go. Here. Where is it? How do I make it bigger? So, Lake Elsinore. Anybody ever been to Lake Elsinore? Where is it anyway? Somewhere up there. Okay. Here were community funding district special tax bonds. So Lake Elsinore went to the citizens and said, "Hey, we want to sell some bonds. We want to make some loans. You voters, will you approve it?" The voters said yes. So now they floated these bonds at 2.25%. They started to be callable, and this was before, this was July of 2016. In September of 2016, at what you got to do is you got to move the decimal point one to the right. They, instead of just giving you 1,030, they say, 103, it's 103%. So just add a zero. So now, whoever bought these bonds bought them at 1,000, moved the decimal point one to the right. They paid $1,000 for them. But if Lake Elsinore wants to call them back, come here, bonds, they have to pay them a penalty. They have to pay an extra $30. Does that make sense? Okay, they're paying 2.25%. Now, if a $1,000 bond, what's 2.25% of $1,000? Anybody figure that out? $22.50. If it's a 5% bond, what are you getting paid? $50. If it's a 7% bond, what are you getting paid? Not 7 cents. So remember that when we do the calculations. If it's a 7% bond, don't put 7 cents. It's $70. And so look when they mature. They were only 10-year bonds. They mature in 10 years. So this was 2016, so they mature in 10 years. What's the minimum? You see? Bonds are typically owned by very, very wealthy individuals. We mere mortals usually buy them from a mutual fund. So let's take a look at Poway. You heard of Poway? I call it No Way. Because there's no way I'm living in Poway. No way. Okay. So here's Poway. This was in the depths of the Great Recession. Here's Capistrano, California Unified School District, community funding district, special tax bonds. Capistrano School District went to the voters. The voters said yes. Let's take a look at Poway. Poway, California Unified School District, California Community Funding District, number 14, special tax bonds. Non-rated. We'll discuss rating in a bit. But 5.25%. So that means this bond is paying us how much per year? Remember, $1,000 bond, what's it paying us? $52.50. You see how that works? Yeah. 5% would be $50, 5.25%, $52.50. They mature in 2036. This was February 2009. They started to be callable in September of that year, 2009, at 1,030. So Poway, if they wanted to call these bonds back, has to pay a $30 premium. They have to pay $30 extra. Now, what are they priced at? $648.78, $650. They originally sold at $1,000. What the hell's going on? Well, this was the depths of the Great Recession. People stopped paying their mortgages. And when you pay your mortgage, you usually have an escrow account, which means you also pay your property taxes. These bonds were based on the property taxes coming in from the homeowners. Were the people paying their property taxes? No. So investors were saying, get me out of this thing! So they were selling these bonds at a huge discount because they were afraid Poway was going to go belly up. And they didn't want to be caught holding the bag. They didn't want to be caught holding a bond that's not paying its interest payments and its principal payments. Now, as we'll learn when we get to stocks, the time of maximum pessimism is the best time to buy. So would you have bought these bonds at $650 at that time? Would you have? It's easy to say you would now, looking at what you see how well they've done. But in the middle of the Great Recession, people were terrified. They thought the end of the world was coming.
What does that mean by the pessimism?
What do you think?
No,
that's the minimum you got to pony up. In other words, you walk into this place, what is this? M.L. Stern Securities, Division of Southwest Securities. You walk in there and say, I have $1,000. Can I buy, or I have $650. Can I buy one bond? What are they going to do? Get out of here. They want you to pony up at least $25,000.
So then what is the $650?
Well, that's for one bond. You're not just buying one bond. You're going to be buying several, whatever it is. Divide, you know, $650 into $25,000. And that's the minimum. They want, you know, they'd rather you... Yeah, bond investors tend to have a lot of money. Yeah. So it's a great opportunity for us grunts. If you get in the industry, most people deal with stocks because that's where the action is. But some people will concentrate on bonds, and you have to find the bond investors, which means you find very wealthy people in... If you can talk them into letting you be their investment advisor, you can really make a lot of money. Yeah, and you get on the private jet, you go to the private golf clubs or whatever. I'm not in that. I'm at Southwestern Community College, which I love. When we sold our bonds, Southwestern sold our bonds last time. I was at a muckety muck thing where. We were talking about the bond issue, and one of the governing board members was saying, we need to advertise this to the general public here in the South Bay so that our citizens can invest in our bonds. And I was like, he didn't understand. People in Chula Vista and San Ysidro, National City, they don't buy muni bonds. If you do, you usually buy them from a mutual fund. That's where we mostly buy our bonds from. Cool? So, you remember that? And because they were selling at a big discount, the yield was a lot higher, which we'll see, which we already did. We'll do it, see it again. But watch what happened. So, you bought these things in February of 2009. 6 months later, what happened to them? Or a year later. I'm sorry, a year later. We have to go to FINRA, which you're going to do. Remember they were selling for $650? What are they selling for a year later? $815, $832. Why? Investors are not as squeamish. They're thinking, well, maybe Poway's not going to go under. They're still frightened. It's 2010, and Obama, the Antichrist, is in charge. I'll never forget that. The woman was sitting right where Noah's sitting, and she says, she was from Texas. My folks back in Texas, this is the day after the inauguration in January 2009 of Obama. My folks back in Texas kept the kids home today because they saw that the Antichrist had been elevated and we're now going to have the rapture. And I said, you're kidding me. You're not really serious. Oh, yes. That's why I don't live in Texas. Okay, so 880, let's see what happened. October 2010. What's happening? They're rising, right? Now 980, 880, 990. They're rising. That's October 2010. And then what happened in March of 2011? Well, this one woman went on 60 Minutes and said that all those bonds from those municipalities, all those municipalities are going to go bankrupt. Hundreds, thousands of municipalities across the country are all going to go bankrupt. And about four or five did. Stockton, San Bernardino, Detroit. But people dumped the bonds again. They started dumping the bonds. And then they realized that, you know, she doesn't know what she's talking about, even though she's getting paid a lot of money. And you, too, could be the same way. Because by October in 2011, they were back up to 860. And then 2012, now they're getting, some of them, look, a few of them are more than 1,000. And now they've become premium bonds before discount bonds. And that's what? What is this? This is March of 2012. Let's go to March of 2015. No, I'm sorry. Let's go to October. Now notice. This is what happens when you go look for bond quotes. That's not right. There's something wrong. That's bad data. But look, all of them except for this one, they're all selling for more than 1,000. So, you bought those bonds. You told me you did. You bought them in February 2009 for $650. You can turn around and sell them now for $1,030. Not bad? Are you happy about it yourself? You didn't do it, though. You didn't buy them. I didn't buy them. And so if we go today, look, most of them are selling for more than 1,000 because interest rates are pretty low. Cool? All right, we won't look at Ford. Let's continue. Let's continue with the slideshow. Now, all right, so as we said, bond interest is normally taxable. The Treasury, you get interest from the Treasury, you have to pay taxes at the federal level, but not the state level. If you buy a corporate bond, you have to pay taxes at federal and state. But if you buy a muni bond, you don't pay taxes at the federal level. And this makes these things really popular with the very wealthy. And if you buy a bond from your state will say, cool, you don't have to pay taxes on our bond. So we're in California. You buy a California muni bond, Southwestern Community College, City of Chula Vista. You don't pay federal taxes, nor do you pay state taxes. And this is where we did the first problem on Thursday. So let's do it again. Who wasn't here on Thursday? Anybody not here on Thursday? So get out the worksheet, because these are going to be on the exam. But they're not that hard once you do them a couple of times. You have one of these? No? We'll pass this back to Mr. Martinez. Okay, who needs one? Okay. So here's the example. You go out there and you, let's say it's Chicago. I don't know why, I'm just thinking of Chicago today. You go buy a muni bond from Chicago. Now, it's a municipal bond, which means you don't pay any federal income taxes. Now, California says, hey, we can tax Illinois, we're going to do it. So this is federal only. This is the first formula. How do you calculate the taxable equivalent yield? Well, you take the muni bond yield divided by 1 minus the marginal tax bracket. Does this look familiar? Chapter 3. Remember, you wanted to forget all about marginal tax rates? I thought you were going to come back to them. So let's say we're in the 25% tax bracket. 0.06? Yes? Everybody have a problem with that? 0.25? What's 1 minus 0.25? 0.75. Do you have one of these, Tara? This is not in the worksheet. This is this one. We'll do the worksheet just after that. Okay. This is just this one. We're going to do the worksheet in just a minute. This is just this one. So now, 0.06 divided by 0.75? Tough question, folks. It's on the board, but I want you to do it. You may think I'm crazy. You may be right, but if you do it, you're gonna learn better. No, I don't think so. Try it again. 0.08 is what you should get. 0.08 divided by 0.75. That's the problem. You got those stabbing things. You can't. Did you get 8%? You didn't get 8%? Maybe you have a bad calculator. Yeah, it might have been made in Santee. That's the problem. Okay, so what does that mean? What that means is you have to go out and find a corporate bond paying at least 8% to match the value of the muni bond at the 25% marginal tax bracket. As the marginal tax bracket goes up and down, it changes the value. The higher the marginal tax bracket, the more the muni bond is worth, which is why most of us working grunts are not interested in muni bonds, because the folks who are filthy rich, making a ton of money, they're the ones who are more interested in them, and they're going to pay more for them. Make sense? Okay, and people go, "Wah." Well, think about it. What is this guy paying? A 6% bond pays how much every year? Everyone should say $60. Wait till you ask me. How much is a 6% bond paying?
$60.
How much is an 8% bond paying? Wait a minute. Wouldn't you rather have the $80? Well, it doesn't matter. It's equivalent. Why? Do you pay any taxes on this guy? No. But how much taxes at the 25% tax bracket do you pay on this guy? You pay $20 of taxes, so that means 80 minus 20. So you see they're equivalent with me, understand? Piece of cake?
Do you have to write all of them?
Do you have to write all of them down?
No,
all you got to do is write this. All you got to do is this part. But I'm just trying to explain why. Okay, so let's do number one. Who will read? We did number one on Thursday. We'll do it again. Sound cool? Now, Tara. Go to page number two. All right, a married couple is in the 35% tax bracket. That makes means they're making $500,000-$600,000 a year, right? They're in the 35% California federal bracket. They're in the 11% California bracket. So they're considering a 5% Arizona bond, a 4.5% California bond, and a 7.5% corporate bond. Now, again, if we just look at these values, you need one of these?
No.
What?
Where
I know. You want to do it again? No? Okay, forget it. Okay. At the end of class, those of you who want to stick around, we'll do it again, okay? Because it's going to be on the exam. And people go like this, go. And they leave the whole thing blank. And I, don't worry. Just do the best you can. You'll be amazed at how much partial credit you get. Yeah, I just want you to do it. I just want you to do it because you got to put up. See, I grew up in the 70s, 1970s, right? And it was a very different time. And did I tell you this already? I had to bring a pipe because I couldn't roll joints. My brother could roll really good joints. Right? He could roll. Now you just pop a pill, right? or vape it, right? The edibles. This is what's making people sick because they're eating too much. They're winding up at the hospital going, "I feel horrible." You know, just lay down. "I feel terrible. I feel like I'm dying." "You're not going to die. Lay down. Shut up." And so my brother said, "How do you roll good joints, John?" He said, "You got to put up with your bad joints. See? You got to put up with your bad joints." And so you got to put up with your bad math. So just do the best you can. Did you understand what I meant?
No?
No. It takes practice. And so some people, once people get up to be a certain age, they don't want to do it anymore. They want to pay somebody to do it for them. Or they just don't even want to try. So they just go, "I'm not going to answer the question. I'm going to leave it blank." Don't leave it blank. Just do the best job you can and put up with your bad math. And then you'll get better at it. It just takes time to get better at it. Anyway, that's enough of that. Okay, so now, but think about it. Right? You got to put up with your bad, whatever it is. Okay. There's an old saying, an African saying, if you can walk, you can dance, and if you can talk, you can sing. Now, it doesn't say how well. It doesn't say how well you dance or sing, and if you're white like me, you don't dance very well. Okay, so the tax-exempt yield. Now, what happens if we buy a California bond? If we buy a California bond, not only do we not have to pay the 5% Fed, the 25% federal tax, we don't have to pay the 8% California tax. So here, that same 6% bond becomes 6% divided by 1 minus 25% plus 8%. Are you with me? Because we don't have to pay the 25% federal tax, and we don't have to pay the 8% California tax. So it's 0.06, 0.25, 0.08. Don't put 0.8. That's 80%. So what's 0.25 plus 0.08? Everyone should say 0.33. Wait till I ask you. What is 0.25 plus 0.08? 0.33. What's 1 minus 0.33? Use your calculator, but it's 67. So 0.06 divided by 0.67. And now this bond is equivalent to a corporate bond paying what? 0.0895. So we have to find a bond, a corporate bond, a fully taxable corporate bond at 8.95% to match that 6% California muni bond, which is why muni bonds are really popular with people in high net worth, high income brackets. Okay, cool. Now, you told me not, at the end of the class, if we have time, we'll do the calculations again because they're going to be an exam. Now, can the corporation, can the municipality, can the federal government, can they pay back their interest? Can they make their interest payments? And so we're going to do in the bond world the same thing we do in the individual world. Remember your credit rating in Chapter 5? It goes from 350 to 850. Well, in the bond world, they don't use numbers. They use letters. Triple A, double A, triple B, double B, triple C, double C, and then D means default. There's no F. I think it's kind of silly. It reminds me of eggs. You look at this, it's double A eggs. What the hell? How's that different from an A or a B, B eggs? I've seen B eggs. They look exactly the same. So what's the difference? And I think the same thing happens here. But anything above, BBB and above, is called investment grade. Investment grade. Anything below BBB is called non-investment grade. But what do people usually refer to it as? Anybody know? Junk. Right, junk. Anything below BBB is called a junk bond. These are called junk bonds. They also go by the name distressed and speculative. Speculative. Sometimes people call them high yield, but I don't like that. So I like to think of these as like idiot lights on your dashboard. When this has changed, but you know, many years ago, when you saw the red light, the oil light on your car go off, what did you do? What do you do? Just keep driving. Your engine's going to seize in a couple miles, so try to go up the freeway. But now, supposedly, they're better. If you see the oil light flicker, stop immediately, get off, you know, pull over immediately, and don't wreck your engine. So that's what happened in 2002, 2001, and then 2008. Once they put them down in here, it was already too late. The company's already going to go bankrupt. Cool? Any cool? Make sense? All right, so do you want to buy an investment-grade bond? Or do you want to buy a non-investment grade bond? Well, this one's going to be safer, but these are going to do what? Pay you better. These are going to pay you better. So you decide. Do you want to eat well, or do you want to sleep well? Okay, now, here we get, this is the best part. This is the most exciting part of bonds. And it's not really that exciting. Inverse relationship. How are we doing? Not bad. By far, the trickiest part about bonds is the inverse relationship with interest rates. And if you just remember the seesaw, in fact, if on an exam, if you just showed the picture of the seesaw, if interest rates fall, what's going to happen to bond prices? They are going to rise. If interest rates rise, what's going to happen to bond prices? Bonds are going to fall. It's a seesaw. It's an inverse relationship. Interest rates fall, bond prices. Where are interest rates now? Are they low or high? They're very low. Where are bond prices? They're very high. In fact, a lot of people say they call it the bond bubble. They say we were in an internet bubble 20 years ago, 10 years ago. We had a real estate bubble. Now we're in a bond bubble. I don't know if I agree or not, but there's a lot of bonds that are really paying very little interest. The prices are high. It is a great source of confusion, but it really makes sense. We call bonds fixed investments, fixed income, fixed interest, people just call them fixed. And why? Because the interest rate doesn't change. If you buy a bond at 5%, it will always pay 5%. Think of it like your mortgage. If you're paying 4.5%, is your mortgage going to go up and down? Unless you picked an adjustable rate mortgage. No, it's going to stay the same. When you buy a bond, that bond is fixed. But are interest rates staying at 5%? No, they're going up and down every day. They don't go up and down quickly. Normally, sometimes they do. So what happens is the price of your bond goes up and down because the price is not fixed. And it is a great source of confusion, consternation. But think about it. Let's say I'm running out of room, so I'm going to erase this. Is that okay? We'll go back to it. Where's my... Okay. Okay. You bought a bond for 10%. Now, what are you getting every year? 10% bond pays $100. 7% bond pays not 7 cents. So now, bonds are boring. What can I say? But what happens if interest rates fall to 5%? Now, a 5% bond is paying what? Everyone says, a 5% bond pays $50. Are you going to sell your bond for $1,000? No. People now have to pay twice that amount to get the same amount of interest that you're getting. So you're going to demand a premium. That's what we call it. The bond would now be sold at a premium. That's what we saw. We saw the Poway bond start out at a discount, and then as they got more and more popular, as people were realizing that the world was not going to end, they became a premium. So if you sold your bond now, you don't have to. If you sold your bond now, you would get a capital gain. You could sell it at a gain. And what happens when the opposite happens? Let's say you bought your bond at 5%. How much interest are you getting? 5% bond gives us? $50. But now interest rates have risen to 10%. What are people getting with new bonds? 100. So if you tried to sell your 5% bond, would anybody buy it? They'd want a discount. They'd want the value of your bond to fall. How'd you do? Piece of cake?
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's what we want to hear. Okay. Okie dokie dokie dokie. So this is the relationship. If interest rates fall, you're going to ask for more for your bond. If interest rates rise, you're going to have to accept less from your bond. So let's get your ABCDs. Forgot to bring them. So now, how are we doing? Who would read number one? Anybody want to read this? Not me. You're not going to get me to read it. Yes, I'll borrow.
Once I passed out the time, bought a corporate bond at 8%. 4 years ago today, corporate bonds are like one bond at 6%. Would one be able to sell the bond for more than the rebate, or less than the rebate rate, or the same amount as the rebate rate?
Okay, so who is this? Once upon a time.
Oh,
my God. Once upon a time. No, they don't get any better. Okay, so he bought it, and it was paying 8%. But now, bonds that are like his are paying 6%. So would he sell for more, less, or the same? A. Yeah, right, it's A. Interest rates fall. What happens to bond prices? They go up. They become premium bonds. Now, who will read number two? Kenya will read it.
Cocoa bought a treasury bond paying 5% 2 years ago. Today, like treasury bonds are paying 7%. Would Samuel Cocoa be able to sell his bond for more than he paid for it, less than he paid for it, or the same amount he paid for it?
Okay, so who's this?
El Coco.
And the Anglos go, huh? Who's El Coco? He's the boogeyman, right? In Spanish, right, in Mexico, that's the boogeyman. It's also a silly name for somebody. But that's the kids, they're afraid of El Coco when they're 2 or 3 years old. Yeah, right. Interest rates have risen. What happens? No, it's pretty bad. Okay, yeah. Interest rates have risen. The bond would now be worth less. Does he have to sell it? No, he doesn't have to sell it. He can keep collecting his interest payments and then they'll pay him $1,000 back. Okay, the relationship of bonds and interest, and I'm going to ask you that 3 or 4 or 5 times on the exam. Is that a deal? Why? Because you're the investment guru now. You're the financial expert for your friends and family and coworkers, and you have to explain it to them. You have to say, oh, no, bonds move inversely with interest rates. So, because people in the industry get confused about it. The relationship of the bonds and interest rates is why a bond will have different quoted rates, as we saw when we took a look at Poway. The first one is the fixed rate. That's the nominal rate, the nominal yield. It's also called the coupon rate. Huh? Where the hell did they get that name? Well, the term coupon comes from a time when bonds would be sold with coupons on them. They would sell a bond, and you get the bond in your hand, and there'd be these coupons. And what do you do with them? Every 6 months, you clip the coupon, put your name and address on it, put it in an envelope, send it off to the company or the municipality, and they send you back your money. Yeah, they don't do that anymore. But to this day, people still use the term coupon. You want to see some bonds? We showed them in the 123 class. Where is it? Here they are. Here's some bonds. Bearer bonds, they're called. And these are not real anymore. They're just for people collect them now like Beanie Babies. But you see, you click off your coupon, send it in, and they send you back the cash. And then that made it easy to sell your bond. You just gave it to somebody else, they gave you the cash, and then they did it. They put their name on it. That's how. But that's all electronic now, so we don't have to worry about that anymore. Now, the next one is the current yield. The current yield tells you what the bond is paying you today, given the fact that the price can change. And then the yield to maturity is the tricky one. That one is saying, okay, what will I get if I hold this bond until the day that I get my money back? So if the bond is selling at 1,000, then they're all the same, because that's selling at par. It's paying you this interest rate and the current yield and the yield to maturity are all the same. But that rarely happens. Once you buy your bond, interest rates change and your bond goes up or down in value. And so that's why we do the calculations. So there's no calculation that needs to be done. The nominal rate, the coupon rate, that stays the same. But if the market value is different than 1,000 and different than par, then we've got to do these calculations. And, you know, you look them up on the web or look them up wherever you go to get your bond quotes. And it's tough to get bond quotes. But let's say you had a 6% bond and it's now worth $1,100. What is it paying us today? Well, the formula is take the annual interest. What's the annual interest on a 6% bond?
$60.
And let's say the market value is $1,100. That's what you go out and see it selling for. You divide 60 by 1,100, and you get 0.0545445. So about 5.45%. So even though the thing is paying us $60, we have to pay a premium for it, and we're only getting 5.45%. You with me? That's what it's paying us today. But what is it going to pay us if we hold on to it to maturity? What's the yield to maturity? Well, that's a little trickier. It's not that much trickier. We did it Thursday. We'll do it again today, and we'll wait till the end of the class to do it on the worksheet for those of you who want to stick around. But I'm sorry, we're not going to do that yet. This is a discount bond. It's the same idea, but now let's say the same 6% bond is selling for $900. Don't put 6 cents. $60 divided by $900, and it turns out that this bond is actually paying us 6.67%. So its coupon yield is 6%, $60. But really, we're getting 6.67% because we only have to pay $900. Does that make sense? Yeah? Is this really that hard? I'd submit to you that it's not. And the industry wants you to think you can never understand it, because that's so we can sell you investment services and screw you. And charge you for investment services. Okay, now, what happens when we want to look at the bond to maturity? So here's that same $900 bond paying us 6%, but now we know the maturity. We know that this bond is going to come back to us. $1,000 is going to come back to us in 10 years. So now it gets a little more complicated. But it's really the same formula. We take the annual interest, but instead of dividing it by the market price, we divide it by the average of the market price and the par value. Because we paid $900 for it, we're going to get $1,000 when we get it back. You with me? As it gets closer and closer to maturity date, the price gets closer and closer to the par value. Whether from below, if it's a discount bond, or from above, if it's a premium bond. Now, what's this bad boy here? This is saying, look, every year it's going to get a little closer to the maturity value, the par value, the face value. So take the maturity value, the face value, minus the market value, and divide by that by the number of years. So if we do the calculations, you get $60. It's going to pay us $60, not 6 cents. Don't put 0.06 or sapapo. Right? And then what's the average of 1,900? Some of you can do that in your head. What's the average of 1,900? 950. Take the midpoint. Or type 1,000 plus 900 equals divided by 2. You get 950. Now, here's the scary part. 1,000 minus 900 divided by 10. So 1,000 minus 900 is 100 divided by 10 years. So what is that saying? 60 plus 10. We're going to get $60 in interest, plus the bond is going to increase in about approximately 10%, $10 a year. Not 10%, $10 a year. Now, it doesn't work that way because interest rates it's not perfect. Interest rates are moving up and down all the time, but it's an approximation. So 60 plus 10 is 70 divided by 950. And what is that bond paying us if we hold it to maturity? 0.074, 7.4%. Is it 7.3 something or other? Yeah, okay. So you see what's going on? It looks scary. And what scares people is that this is a minus sign, that's a plus sign. No. This is the average of the two, and this is taking the difference and divided by the number of years to know how much it's either going up from a discount bond or down from a premium bond. And if you can do this, there's a future for you in the industry. Okay, where do you buy bonds? Well, when they're initially issued, you got to go to the investment bank. Morgan Stupid, Merrill Stench, Goldman Sachs, and you buy them directly from them, or the bank, or the company. Or you go to treasurydirect.gov, which is one of the assignments in Business 123, Introduction to Investments, where we learn that the Treasury is actually pretty cool. They allow you, as an individual investor, to buy Treasury bonds at the same price that the big boys and girls on Wall Street get. So you don't have to show up with $25,000. $1,000 gets you one bond, and they don't care. They don't want you. You don't have to buy 25 bonds. They'll happily let you buy one bond at the same price that everybody else gets. So it's very cool. But then once the bond is sold, then you got to go through the markets. You have to buy it through a broker or find an investor who's willing to sell yours, pay a commission. But as we said, very few small investors. Now we're not talking about small people. We're talking about small numbers. Bond traders normally deal in millions of dollars. They want you to pony up 25 grand, preferably 100,000. The major exception is treasurydirect.gov. So where do most of us buy our bonds? Through mutual funds, which we're going to deal with in a couple of weeks. Yes, sir.
What would you recommend, like mutual funds or treasury?
Well, it depends. Young folks, I don't think you should buy bonds. I really don't. I mean, they're just too conservative. You're going to be living, again, you know, you never know, but statistically, you're going to be living into your hundreds. That's what the numbers say. Actually, over the last 60, 70 years, the lifespan of people have been, around the world, has, especially in the West, has been going up. Now, just recently, it went down in the United States. Why? Not because of our healthcare system, but maybe a little bit. It's because of the opioid crisis and suicide rates. People are killing themselves because they have despair. Well, I mean, with a president like Trump, wouldn't you be despair? but the opioid crisis. But you statistically should be living into your hundreds. You don't should have any bonds, really. Wait until you're in your 50s, 60s, but that's me. Everybody's going to tell you differently. Other people are going to tell you differently. Oh, of course you should have some bonds. They're usually bond salespeople. Because they provide ballast. They provide stability, which we'll see when we get to mutual funds. Now, if you want to buy bonds at treasurydirect.gov, cool, do it. You're not going to get screwed. If you walk into a brokerage office and say, I want to buy one bond, they're just going to, you know, I don't know what they're going to do. I haven't tried it. But they're probably not going to be, they're going to say, how about, let's look at this mutual fund. It's probably what they'll tell you to do. Let's take a look at a bond mutual fund. But really, bonds, for you young folks, no. Now, some of you are going to say, I want to sleep well. So what we do, when we get the mutual funds, we'll see some bond mutual funds. Oh, we're going to see them right now. Let's see them right now. What's the next one? Yeah. Let's go take a look at the, okay, so on the website, remember the website? Okay, are four illustrations. Okay, a bond, this is through mutual funds. Long-term investing with bonds. We're going to see that it's not that great, but it's still better than a life insurance company. So $100 a month for 30 years, $100 a month for 40 years, and then $100 per month for 40 years, but then every year we're going to increase it 10 bucks. Two fewer trips to Starbucks. Okay, every year. So $100 a month the first year, next year $110, and then the next year $120. With me? And then we'll come back and thwack the life insurance companies again. $60 a month for 30 years and see what we can do with them, the big jerks. So now let's take a look at $100 a month for 30 years. Have we done any of these yet? No, this is the first time. Okay, this is called an illustration, and we're going to come back to these when we get to mutual funds. But they have to be, they have to be blessed and kissed, and you have to be licensed. I'm licensed. So I'm allowed to show these things. So, but they have stuff like this. Investments are not FDIC insured, nor are they deposits of or guaranteed by a bank or any other entity, so they may lose value. Figures shown are past results and not predictive of future periods. Does anybody read any of this crap? Doesn't it sound like Gregorian chant or Greek chant or whatever it is? What are you saying? What they're trying to do is scare living daylights out of you, right? You can lose money. Especially if you're in it for the short term. You can lose money. So all the lawyers put that there. Let's get down to the good stuff. Here's the good stuff. We're going to put this money into a bond fund. I love the name of this bond fund. Can you get any more generic? The Bond Fund of America. And then next week we'll do the Growth Fund of America. Stock Fund of America. It should go to Stock Fund. But it's been around for a long time, 1973. And so we're starting with $100 a month going back to 1989. That's $1,200 a year. Are you with me? $1,200 a year. And we saw, you don't see it too much, but in 1994, there was a little bit of a downturn. But notice because we put an extra $1,200 in, it didn't look like a downturn. But bonds went down a little bit in 1994 when interest rates went up. But then they pretty much steady. until 2007, when you had 42,000, and then everybody went down. Everybody, 2007, everybody went down in 2008. Now, bonds didn't go down anywhere near as much as stocks, as we'll see when we get to stocks. But they still went down a little bit. But after 30 years, you put $36,000 away, right? $100 a month, $1,200 a month for 30 years. And it's $72,000. Is that exciting? This is 30 years. And you've returned, whoop, it's not there. You've gotten 4.29%. You see, bonds are at the lower end over the last 20, 30 years. So we see the graph, and it's not very exciting. There's a little bit of a, you see, it didn't go down, but it didn't go up. And then there's 2008. When this bonds do this, that's a big deal. When bonds fall this much, it's like, where did you see what stocks did? And so let's now extend our time horizon by 10 years. Because, again, you guys are going to live a long time. Be afraid. Be very afraid. Don't invest because you may lose money. So now we're going to start in 1979. They had investments back then. And that's the year I graduated from school, from college. Can you believe it? No. So anyway, $1,200, you don't believe it. $1,200, I don't believe it either. $1,200 a year, and where's 2000? Now we should see it down. Yeah, you see the little downturn from 1993 to 1994? See a little bit of a downturn. And then all the way to 2007, we had 130 and then 115. But by the end of 40 years, we put in 48,000, what some people pay for a car. And we now have 191,000 at a little bit better, 6%. Which is what, you know, over the long term, if you get a 6% from a bond fund, you'll be happy. And so there's a little downturn in 94. There's 2008. So are you happy with that? I mean, 48,000, almost 200,000. But this is the best part. We're now going to increase our investment by $10 every year. Can you do that? Two fewer trips to Starbucks. And so, where's 94? Had a little bit of a downturn in 90. Not that much, only $700. And then 2007 to 8, not good. But hey, $141,000 has become $400. Happy with that? Wait till we get to pitiful. Pitiful. If you have a long-term time horizon, this sucks. Wait till we get to stocks. Okay, now, remember the life insurance policy that gave us $17,755 after 30 years of putting $60 a month away? Let's see what the bond fund did. Okay. Be afraid, be very afraid. So $720 a year is $21,600. It gave us $43,000. So over twice as much than the life insurance policy. Because what does life insurance company do? They just turn around and buy bonds. That's all they do, mostly. They also buy stocks, but depends on what type of investment you're with them. Cool? So, yeah. How does this look like?
Like mutual fund investments, how does the growth look like?
Well, it depends. It depends if you're investing in bonds or stocks. These are bonds. Do you want to do a spoiler?
Yeah.
Do you want to look at the stocks?
Yeah.
Okay, I got them over the weekend. That's what I did over the weekend. Okay, so let's go now to chapter 12. This is a spoiler, but let's do it. $100 a month for 30 years in stocks. Be afraid, be very afraid. You're going to lose money. You're a fool. Don't do this. So the lawyers can come back and say, we told you. Okay, so $100 a month. Now it's going to be more volatile. Stocks went in two directions, up and way up in the 1990s. So in 2000, we had 48,000. 2 years later, we had 35,000. You see? Did the bond fund do that? No. But we held on. We didn't run. We didn't hide. And then in 2007, we had 81,000. And then the next year we had, oh shit, right? Oh shit. It's what people often say. Or they don't tell their spouse. In 2008, went, are we okay? Yeah, my wife comes in. Are we okay? Oh, yeah, everything's fine here. And so, but still, your 36,000 as of March 31st, 2019, was 226. That's not bad. 10.5%. And let's see the roller coaster. So there's 2000 to 2002. 2007, there's 2008, the bolt of lightning from the sky. There's 2011, went down a little bit, but look at that. 2018 went down a little bit, but it's since done well this year. Are you with me? That was 30 years. Watch what happens when we increase by 10 years. Which again, many of you are going to be working for 40 years. It happens really quickly, especially once you have kids. Once you have kids, time just goes by so fast. Except when you're changing your diapers. Okay, so here it is. Remember the first one was the Bond Fund of America? This one is the Growth Fund of America. They should call it the Stock Fund of America. Called the Growth Fund of America. So $100 a month for 40 years, and the stocks went in two directions in the 1980s and 90s, up and way up, until we hit 2000, 250, 2 years later, 170. Did you run? Did you panic? Tell me the truth. Okay, because 4 years later, we had 371, and then 2008, 226. But we didn't run, we didn't hide, and after 40 years, we put in 48,000, and we now have 939. But was it a smooth ride? Hell no! Stocks are volatile, which is a fancy way of saying I lost a lot of money. 2000 to 2002, Chinese water torture. Drip, drip, every day was going down a little bit more. And then 2008, bang! 23% in 1 week, October 2008. And then, boom, see the exponential growth? Now, here's the best part. This is it. You're not content with that, right? You want more, right? I'm going to show you how to have more. What you do is next year, you put in $100 a month this year. Next year, 110, 120. Can you pull that off? Nod your head yes. Yes, you can, right? Especially if you get rid of the cell phone or not get rid of it, but just find a better plan. So here we go. In the 1980s and 90s, stocks went two directions, up and way up. And so at 2000... we notice our investment's increasing. We had 380, 2 years later, 266. 2007, we had 586, 3 years, 2 years, 1 year later. Ooh, ouch, ouch. But we put in a total of 141,000 because we kept increasing our contributions. And that sounds like a lot of money, but over 40 years, it's not. Especially if you want to buy a new car every 5 or 10 years, you're going to spend a whole lot more than that. Now, who knows? In 5 years, you won't be buying cars anymore. You'll just call up a car, pick you up, drop you off. We'll see. But still, that's why bonds are pitiful. You understand? But what did you have to put up with when you invest in stocks? Anxiety. Right. The nerve. You got. It feels, and I'll tell you, other people say the same thing, and I can attest to this. When the market falls like it did in 2000 and 2002, especially in 2008, it feels like somebody kicked you in the gut. It feels like somebody punched you right in the stomach. You feel it right here. But as we saw with the bonds, when was the best time to buy? Yeah, where do you see the stocks? Where do you see what happened to the stocks? Okay, let's go to crew. Remember we looked at Ford? What happened to Ford bonds? I got stretchy. Okay, watch what happened to Ford stock. Come on. You know, Yahoo used to be so good. It used to be such a good website, but now it sucks so bad. Oh, there it is. There it is. Ford. Okay, so let's go to chart. Max. Did I do that right? Max. No, I didn't. This sucks. This is bad. Max. Not doing it. Let's try it. There it goes. Okay, that's better. Okay, so it goes all the way back to 72. Here's 2000. Wait, no, that's not 2000. Yeah, it is. That's 2000. And now, boom, there's the 2000 to 2002. 2008, it went from about 30-some dollars down to under $2. And I kept saying, buy Ford. Buy Ford. They're not going out of business. They're not. Yes, they might go out of business. So don't buy them. I didn't buy them. And then it went up to 18, and now it's down to about $3, $9. Would you have the guts to buy Ford at $2 a share? I didn't. Oh, well. But I put some more money away in other places, and I did well with those. So do you see what stocks are like? You see why I tell you stay away from bonds? Any questions, any thoughts? Bonds, the bottom line on bonds, good intermediate term investments, decent long-term investments for those who have trouble sleeping at night. Because you saw the difference in how far the bond fund fell in 2008 versus the stock fund. But they have significant risks, especially when interest rates are very low, like right now. So I think bonds are kind of overpriced myself. Okay, so now what we'll do now is we'll stop. And for those of you who want to go through the worksheet, because you're going to be on the exam, and I want you to put up with your bad math, and we'll go through those, okay? Those of you who don't want to stick around, you are free to go. Who snuck in late? Saif? Where's your brother? He didn't show? He didn't show up? Okay. And who else? Carl? No. Raquel? No. Giovanna? Did she disappear? Carlos? No. Eric? Yes. Carlos Martinez? Yes. No. Guillermo? Yeah, you're here. I got you. Christian Marin, no. Christina, David Ruiz, yes. David Sanders, no. Oliver, no. Okay. Those of you who want to do the calculations, get out the worksheets. And I can do this. Oh, cool. It works in this, too. I don't have to use Facebook. So let's do the worksheets. Okay. All right, so who will read number one? Should I read it? Okay, this is on page number two. What else is this? Here it is. This is 123. Get out of here, Payano. Okay. Okay, so there's a married couple in California. All right, so they are looking at three different bonds. They're in the 35% tax bracket, which means they're, you know, making $500,000-$600,000. They're in the 11% California bracket, and they're looking at three different bonds: a 5% Arizona bond, a 4.5% California bond, and a 7.5% corporate bond. Now, without understanding that there's a tax advantage for muni bonds, we would just look at the three and say, who's paying us the most money? The corporate, right? They're paying us $75 a year. This guy's paying us $50, and this guy's paying us $45. But that doesn't take into account the fact that, hey, there's a tax advantage for these guys. So what's the federal-only formula? Federal-only formula? You see it there? Federal-only formula. You take the muni bond yield, divided by 1 minus the federal tax bracket. And so which one does this apply to? The Arizona bond. Do you understand why? The California bond, but all muni bonds do not pay federal income taxes. Okay? But if you're a California couple and you buy a California bond, you not only not pay the federal, you also don't pay the California. So, but can California tax Arizona? Oh, yeah. So if you buy an Arizona bond, the state of California is going to say, hey, you earned interest, we're going to tax you on that. So we use the federal only for that one. So what's the muni bond yield for Arizona? 5%. And what's our tax bracket at the federal level? 35%. So that's 0.05 and 0.35. So 0.05 divided by 1 minus 0.35? 0.65, yeah, 0.65. And so 0.05 divided by 0.65? 0.65. Did I lose you, Janet, or are you just going? You already signed this already, right? Yeah, okay. 0.07692. So like 7.69%. We like to see at least three digits of accuracy. But if you just leave it, just leave what your calculator writes, that's good. I'm happy with that. So right off the bat, we see that the Arizona bond is a better deal. Do you see why the Arizona bond is a better deal? Because the after-tax yield is 7.69%. Whereas this guy's paying us 7.5%. So the Arizona bond is already paying us more. Cool? All right, now we got to do the California bond. But the California bond is not only federal tax-free, the IRS likes tax-exempt, not only is it federal tax-exempt, it's also California tax-exempt. So what's the formula? The formula is the Fed and state tax-exempt, which is the muni bond yield divided by 1 minus the Fed and the state bracket. You got to do the calculation inside first. So what's the muni bond yield for the California? 4.5%. 1 minus the 35% plus the 11%. So how do we show this one as a decimal?
0.045.
Yes, 0.045, not 0.45, that's 45%. So you can do 4.5% and then move the decimal place 2 to the left. Okay, cool. Now, 0.35 plus 0.11, 4.6. Everybody see that? And then 1, do your calculator if you don't believe me. 1 minus 0.46 is 0.54. Nod your heads yes. Or going, no, Frank, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. Okay. We all had fun playing with the pencils on our desk. Talked for 45 minutes, knowing it's not a single word. Sometimes I feel like just look up and think, okay, I don't mind backing up. I don't mind. When I first started teaching, I didn't think I was going to be a teacher. It was just for one semester. And one of my friends said, Frank, you'll be great. You can say the same thing over and over and over again, and you don't get mine. I say it once, that's it. I'm going to say it again. You ever heard a professor like this? We've already gone over that. Let's go over it again. That's what learning is. So what are we getting here? 8.33%. So that one's on an after-tax basis paying us is paying us 8.33%. So who's the best deal? The California deal. Because we have to go out and find a corporate bond paying at least 8.33% to match our taxable equivalent yield of the California bond. Is that a corporate bond? We have to go out and find a corporate bond paying 8.33% to match the California bond. That's why they're very popular with wealthy individuals. Yes?
How do you know which one is the
one? Okay, well, it's very simple. If it's a corporate bond, don't do anything. Don't do anything. It's already fully taxable. If it's anything other than a California bond, you use the federal only. If it's a California bond, you use the Fed and state. Unless you lived in New York, then it would be New York, right? Or whatever. Your state. Or California. So we do California. But it depends on your state. Cool? Okay. Now, number two. A bond with a par value of 1,000, face value, they will always have 1,000 in this class, is paying 5%. 5%. And the market value is $950. So we could go out to the marketplace and buy this bond for $950. What's the nominal interest rate? This is a real tricky question. What's your name, Bob? What's the nominal interest rate on a 5% bond? 5%. That's it. The interest rate, the annual interest, she's right, I'm sorry. The annual interest is $50. But the nominal rate, the coupon rate, and if you put the dollars, I'll take it if you put the dollars. But if you say what's the nominal rate or coupon rate or nominal rate or yield, they want you to tell them the interest rate. But if you put the annual dollar amount, I'll take it. Okay, so what is the current yield? The current yield, that's the formula where you take the annual interest and you divide that by the market price. So what's the annual interest on a 5% bond? $50. What's the market price? $950. So today, this bond is yielding us 50 divided by 950, or 0.05263. So you can put 5.26%. Don't just put 5%. Not that it's wrong. It's just that you're not going to see that, because that means anything between 4.5% and 5.5%. You want at least three digits of accuracy, or two digits to the right of the decimal point. Okay, cool. But this is just telling us what it's paying us today, the current yield. What is the yield to maturity? Did we look at the Ford bonds? Did we? The Ford bonds.
No.
Damn, I forgot we didn't look at Ford. We looked at the Poway, but we didn't look at Ford bonds. Okay, we looked at the Ford stock. Okay, I'll just show. Remind me. Well, it's too late now. Forget it. Maybe we'll come back to it next week. Okay, so what's the yield to maturity? Well, that's a little trickier. We take the annual interest, and then I like to do the bottom first. It doesn't matter which one you do, but I'm going to do the bottom first. Take the face value, the par value, they mean the same thing, add it to the market value, market price, and divide it by 2. So this is just giving you the average of the face value, which is always 1,000, and the market price. That's all the bottom is doing. Looks tricky, but it's really just doing the average. Because if you add two numbers and divide by 2, what do you get? The average, yeah. Now, here's the bad boy. Take the face value, the par value, minus the market value, and divide by the number of years. And what is this guy doing? This guy doing is saying, look, every year we're going to get closer to 1,000. We're going to get closer to the face value. So where did we start? We started at the market value. Get us there. And how much per year? Well, divide by the number of years, and that's going to tell you how many. So it looks, doesn't it look scary? But once you piece it down, it's like, this isn't that hard. Yeah. So what's the annual interest on a 5% bond? $50. Annual interest, $50. Okay, now, 1,000 plus the market price divided by 2. 1,000 plus 950 is 1950 divided by 2 is... I mean, you can do that in your head. Just take the middle point between 1,000 and 950. 975?
Yeah.
You don't trust me? Use your calculator. So now here's the bad boy. 1,000 minus 950 divided by the number of years. Oh, I'm sorry. We didn't look at it. How many years to maturity? 10 or 20? 10 years. I'm sorry. 10 years of maturity. 10 years of maturity. So, not $50 divided by 10 years. So what's $50 divided by 10 years? $5. That means every year we're going to add another $5. So 50 plus $5, 55 divided by 950 0.0. I'm sorry, 975. Just seeing if you guys were watching. What, did I lose you, Mia?
No, that just threw me off.
Yeah, I threw you off. I didn't do it on purpose. I apologize. So what is it? 0.058? 5641. So 5.64%. And see, it's higher than the current. Why? Because this is telling us what we're getting today. But the fact that we're going to get $1,000 back when it matures means we're going to get better than this, because we only had to pay $950. We're going to get $1,000 when the. So would you rather buy premium bonds or discount bonds? Me too. I'd rather buy discount bonds. But right now, most of all are premiums. So I'm not interested. I'm cheap, can I say? Okay, questions, thoughts? Pete, it's not that hard, really. It looks scary. That's the problem with it. And the good news is the stock calculations are actually easier. When you get the stocks, stock calculations are pretty straightforward. Okay? So Thursday, these will be on the exam. Bring a calculator. One page of handwritten notes, front and back. The formulas will be on the exam. Make sure you know the liability. Remember the automobile liability? 50, 100, 25, 100, 300, 100. Make sure you know those, because those are going to be on the exam also. Cool. Remember, the first, any one person, all people in an accident, and then property.
Property's like a car, right?
Yeah, a car, or you hit somebody's house, or a tree, or a mailbox, something like that. Whatever damage, whatever property damage you get. Not human. Not human damage. I don't know if it, I guess it would apply to if, say, he ran somebody's dog over or something like that. Some of those dogs are expensive. You know, some of those dogs, people say, I can't believe there's one person, I forget what she said, she's going to buy his dog several thousand dollars. Go to the pound. What the hell's the matter with you? You have to spend the house. It's all these dogs. Look at that dog. He wants a home. You're talking to the wrong person. Okay. See you Thursday. I am.